learned about the reason that Paul left Titus on the island. What did he leave him to accomplish? Set up elders and what else? Set in order what remains. So you think about that and what remains as he goes about this island and setting up elders and we talked, you know, Matt talked a lot about elders and the qualifications and leading up to that and the things that are going on the island there and the need for elders. And in chapter one, we learned, that the spiritual elders on the island there and even today, the elders that are needed. Chapter 1, verse 6 through 9 tells us those qualifications. And leading up to those qualifications there in chapter 1, and then verse 9, says, talking about elder, holding fast the faithful word, which is in accordance with the teaching, so that he will be able to exhort in sound doctrine and to refute those that contradict. We also last week got to or started looking at chapter 2. And if you look there in chapter 2, verse 1, Paul's encouragement to Titus, he says, as for you, speak the things that are fitting for sound doctrine. You know, as the need for holding fast to the Word of God. You know, you go back there to verse 9. Faithful word, stay devoted. He tells them that the elders needed to stay devoted. We talked about those things last week about what being devoted and it says in faithful word which was taught in accordance with what? What's that faithful word in accordance with? The teaching. We talked a lot about that and we talked about the pattern and that we need to follow as elders to exhort in sound doctrine so they could do what? Teach others? And it says there in the last part of verse 9. Refute those who contradict. There is a faithful word that is in accordance with the teaching of Christ and has been taught throughout our New Testament. And we talked about that last week, how wonderful it is that we have the New Testament, but Titus didn't have that, didn't he? He didn't have the New Testament but he got the teaching. Hold fast to the faithful word in accordance with the teaching, the sound doctrine. He had that in order to go around this island. He not necessarily was an elder, but he was going to have to be prepared to, you know, speak sound doctrine to refute those. And we talked a lot last week about this, you know, this sound doctrine and how important it was for Titus as he went across this island and the mission and even today. Paul here and the other writers in the New Testament warned that truth and sound doctrine would be rejected. And as we saw in chapter 1 there, it already was. It was already starting to be in the New Testament writings in the first century, and it continues today. We looked at several verses, and I want to go back and look at a couple of those again, not all of them, but look at a couple of those that teach us about God's Word and sound doctrine and how to recognize if it is just that, the sound doctrine that we need to be following. Let's look, just turn a couple of pages back to 2 Timothy 4. 2 Timothy 4, verses 1 through 4. You know, the charge to Timothy, just like Titus had to speak and teach sound doctrine or sound teaching and sound doctrine. Paul solemnly charges Timothy in 2 Timothy 4, verses 1 through 4. I solemnly charge you in the presence of God and of Christ Jesus, who is to judge the living and the dead by his appearing and his kingdom. Preach the word, be ready in season and out of season, reprove, rebuke, exhort with great patience and instruction. For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but wanting their ears tickled, they will accumulate for themselves teachers in accordance to their own desires and will turn away their ears from the truth and will turn aside to miss. Not enduring sound doctrine, he says there, and turning from the truth because they wanted to hear something different, didn't they? That's what we think about the itching ears. You know, well, I like to hear things I like to hear, you know. Two things there, not endure sound doctrine and turn their ears from the truth. You know, when we think about that and as we go about our lives and as we have grown in our faith, there's a lot of different reasons that as people, as we see people in the world and things that are going on, we talked there about following myths. You know, they turn away their ears and follow myths and not follow the truth. And there's other things that we spoke of last week, the reasons that people turn from the truth. It might be, well, that's the way I was raised. I'm going to follow the way of my parents. And respecting your parents is critical. I agree with that. But if it's not following the truth, and maybe following a charismatic leader, we talked about that last week, or even like the way they worship. Well, I've got a lot out of that worship today. I got inspired. You know, is that the reason we're coming to worship for me? And we talked a little bit about, we talked about people being deluded. But here the admonishment to Timothy is preach the word, truth and sound doctrine. They go together. Paul warned Titus, if we go back there to Titus chapter 1, look there in verse 10. Right after talking about elders and sound doctrine and refuting those, he says, for there are many rebellious men. You know, already, there are already rebellious men, empty talkers and deceivers, especially those of the circumcision. Some of those that, you know, coming from the Jewish faith, they're going to turn aside from the truth. Look there in verse 14. Paying attention to Jewish myths and commandments of men who turn away from the truth. So I wanted us to kind of look at this a little bit more in the first part of our lesson here. Titus' instruction to help these Christians on the island of Crete so they wouldn't turn from the truth. You know, this island is going around, and I mentioned last week that this is an island that is about the size of Delaware. He's on foot, and he's trying to go from every single city, you know, from what we read here, every city, and set up elders. And he needs to preach in sound doctrine. We looked last week, and we won't turn there today, but 2 Timothy 1, verse 13. Paul told Timothy to retain the pattern of sound teaching that you heard from me. And the same holds true with Titus. Remember and follow the example and teach these Cretans. Paul didn't say improve upon the pattern, did he? He said retain the pattern. And he didn't say later on that there's going to be some new teaching. He said retain the pattern. And it's for you and I today, it's through faith and love that we follow God's word, isn't it? It's not that we think we're better or smarter or anything different than anybody else. We're still in this world, and we still have a lot of struggles, but we want to be seekers of truth and lovers of truth. So let's look at one other scripture, 1 Timothy 6, verses 3 through 6. First Timothy 6:3-6. If anyone advocates a different doctrine and does not agree with sound words, those of our Lord Jesus Christ, and with the doctrine conforming to godliness, he is conceited and understands nothing, but he has a morbid interest in controversial questions and disputes and words of which arise envy, strife, abusive language, evil suspicions, and constant friction between men of depraved mind and deprived of the truth, who suppose that godliness is a means of gain. So when you look at that, if we look at that scripture, he tells Timothy there that there's people that are going to advocate. And we looked at that word, you know, advocate a different doctrine, who would follow something, who would teach something different. And advocate a different doctrine does not, means you don't agree with what in that verse there? The word, the sound word right there, doesn't it? And he says, those of our Lord Jesus Christ. So that's where the originate, our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ originated. You know, he's the one that's the author and perfecter, isn't he? Last week we talked about the word sound, and we used a lot of different analogies and talked about, you know, different things about, you know, something that's sound. And, you know, it's something that is healthy and wholesome, and you can rely on it. And I actually looked a little bit more this last week. You know, this term sound is where we get our term hygiene out of the Greek. It's healthy. Something that is sound, is something that's sound, is it something that we can trust? It's sound, isn't it? We kind of joked a little bit last week about sound financial advice. Well, you got to be careful when you get that sometimes. But sound doctrine tells us right there in verse 3, the end of verse 3, what does sound doctrine conform to? People will say it's good for you. Yeah, that's right. But what does sound doctrine conform to? Christ. Okay. The word. Godliness. That's what it says right there. So agree with sound word, those of the Lord Jesus Christ, and with the doctrine conforming to godliness. So that's the question that you and I and need to always ask ourselves. Is it from God? Is what I'm following from God? Does it respect God? You know, is it reverent? Does it respect His word? If the answer is no to any of those, think about this. Is it unhealthy? You know, using that same analogy of sound, healthy, and the opposite of that is unhealthy. And if it doesn't conform to godliness, if it's godliness is something that's coming from God, and we know God's word is coming from God. If it doesn't respect God, if it isn't reverent, it's not coming from God's word. So sound doctrine is teaching that accurate, any teaching that accurately communicates God's will by staying true to His word. That's what we strive to do, isn't it? We want to strive to do. So anything outside of that. So now let's look at the island of, you know, of Crete again. What's the purpose of sound doctrine? As he's going around setting up elders and trying to teach the brethren there, what's the end game? We talk about, you ever use that term, the end game? Is it just to have these people living godly lives and following sound doctrine? It's the right step, isn't it? But he wants to get these people to follow Christ and to make it to heaven, isn't it? Is that why we come to learn? Because we want to grow and we want to be more like Christ, and we want to make it. We want to make it to the end game. I want to look at one other scripture before we get a little bit more into Titus there. Look at Acts 20. We didn't look at this scripture last week. Acts 20, verse 29-32. We know this is Paul. He's giving his farewell to at Ephesus and instruction to the elders. Acts 20, verse 29-32. Said, I know that after my departure, savage wolves will come in among you, not sparing the flock. And from among your own selves, men will arise, speaking perverse things, to draw away the disciples after them. Therefore, be on the alert, remembering that night and day for a period of 3 years I did not cease to admonish each one with tears. And now I commend you to God and to the word of His grace, which is able to build you up and give you the inheritance among all those who are sanctified. It says, be aware of the teaching that could potentially harm the flock. Is that something that Titus needs to be aware of as he's going around the island there as well? As Christians, is our responsibility is to follow God's word, and we need to commit ourselves to God's word. So, because the word of grace is, what does he say it's able to do there? Verse 32 says, the word of grace is able to build you up. And what else is it help you to do? Give you the inheritance among those who are sanctified. To gain that inheritance, we need to be built up, don't we? We want to continue to grow. We want to continue to be healthy and sound. We can't take a step back and say, well, I'm going to pick and choose and combine this message, maybe this part that I don't want to follow in the Bible, this sound doctrine. I want to do this because I like it better. We'll go back to that itching ear. But we need to remain strong as we go through life to gain that inheritance. And so as we look at the Cretans, as we go back to Titus again, the command there for them was to be careful not to turn from the truth. And in verse 14 of chapter 1, says that not paying attention to Jewish myths and commandments of men and turn away from the truth. So I want to encourage us as we look at this, as we look at sound doctrine, as we look at what, think about the island of Crete as Titus is beginning is to go there and teach the brethren there. I wanted us to think about, again, these Christians are being taught and the importance of their faith and having that Christ-like attitude throughout life. First, they have to have that sound doctrine that they have to follow. As we look, Paul doesn't say, as he begins this teaching to various groups, he doesn't start off with giving them doctrine. He starts off with, I'm going to instruct you on Christian living, on godly living. Because as we strive to follow God's word, you and I, and as we apply sound doctrine in our lives, in the things that we believe, we must also be living God-pleasing lives. As we grow up, as we continue to be strong. So let's look there as Paul starts off teaching Titus or instructing Titus about the brethren there. He says there in verse 1, but as for you, speak the things that are fitting for sound doctrine. Older men are to be temperate, dignified, sensible, sound in faith, in love, and perseverance. Paul starts off with the older Christians here, doesn't he? Going to start off with the older men, and then we're going to talk about the older women. So I don't know what category you want to put yourself in to an older man or an older woman or anything like that. But these are principles, in regard to conduct, whether we consider ourselves young or old, these messages to these various groups that we're going to look at are instructions for each of us, aren't they? They're not something that we can just say, oh, I'll do that later on in life, okay? That's okay, I'll get there someday. No, we want to think about those things and apply those. And he starts off there by saying older men are to be temperate. And we know that's one of the instructions or qualifications for elders there in 1 Timothy 3. Temperate's not a word that we use very much today, is it? We don't hear that word, but some of your versions, may say sober. And so when we think about that, what do we think about? What does temperate mean? Like-minded, okay. Okay, sober-minded would be good. So being in control. We don't use those terms temperate, but yes, we do use the word sober, being sober-minded. We use the term dignified and sensible, don't we? That's something we think about a lot today. We think about, you know, the qualities of a Christian, older Christian man, you know, someone that is dignified. What do you think about that when you think of dignified? Does it mean, well, I've got the coat and the tie and I look dignified, don't I? Respected? That's a great one. Serious? Okay. Okay. Someone that thinks before they speak. Yep. Before they go off the handle. That's a great point. So the qualities of a Christian man, and even those of us that think they're younger, those that think they're younger, exhibit, you know, self-restraint. You know, dignified. You know, we can apply that, you know, that sober-minded to drinking, but there's a lot of things that we could think of that we should strive to be temperate and sober in mind. You know, let's look at 1 Corinthians 9. And through 27, 1 Corinthians 9, 24 through 27. Do you not know that those who run in a race all run, but only one receives the prize? Run in such a way that you may win. Everyone who competes in the games exercises self-control in all things. They do not do it to receive perishable wreath, but we an imperishable. Therefore, I run in such a way as to not without aim. I box in such a way as to not beating the air. But I discipline my body and make it my slave, so that after I have preached to others, I myself will not be disqualified. An athlete is temperate. He's in control of his body. You know, he's sober-minded. He's got a prize ahead of his self. He has self-control, and he finishes the race, doesn't he? He wants to finish the race, whether old or young. You know, practice that leads in life that would lead to not disqualification. You know, you don't want to do something that's against the rules and you're an athlete, right? You think about that. That's kind of how that Tennessee game kind of ended. A player did something that was against the rules, didn't they? And being in control of your body and practicing a godly life. And those things, that being sensible and dignified, when you're in control, you're going to be someone that's dignified and sensible. You're going to be someone that's looked upon, that's respected and respectable. Can you still have fun and be dignified? Can't you? But someone mentioned being serious. And that's being serious in your faith, isn't it? It's not saying that you can't go have fun with your grandkids or fun with friends and family, but it's about being dignified and reverent when it comes to faithful things, not flying off the handle, not seeing as someone that just you cannot talk to. Yes, Ray. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Exactly. Yep. Being that example to all our family and our friends and those, you know, you want to be seen as in, you know, in Titus going around this island there, someone that is in control and someone that's sensible, that looks to their faith as something that controls them. You know, As we look to other various groups there, Paul is going to mention to three other various groups of people that need to be sensible. So, you know, apparently, you know, there's a problem on the island in society, but, you know, for the reason why he mentioned that to every one of them, but we can think of the same thing today, can't we? You know, look at today in society, there seems like there's no sensibility. There's no sound doctrine, and there's no Christ in many places. Importance of those to teach, sound doctrine, sound in love. And so he says older men are to be temperate, dignified, sensible. And then he says, there's that word sound. Sound in faith, in love, in perseverance. Those words sound, some spiritual health that we want to continue to pray to have. Sound in faith. As time goes on, as we looked at older men being temperate and dignified and sensible, having that soundness in faith means that they're healthy, that they're not a reliant on their self, but they're more reliant on God. Recognize that God is in control. The older that we get, the more that we should have that trust in God. And think about that in terms of faith and love, and then sound in faith, and then sound in love. A healthy amount of love. It doesn't, as we get older, we need to be recognizing that others around us need to see Christ's love coming from us. They need to see Christ in us. They need to see that love, not be someone that is always fault-finding, but someone that is sound in love, healthy amount of love. And love endures all things, doesn't it? We know from 1 Corinthians. Love endures all things, so no matter what, and as we said, as Ray said, that example to our family and our friends, our coworkers, as they see Christ and his love in us. Also, sound in perseverance. What's the word perseverance mean to you? Steadfastness. Some versions may say that as well. Some of our different versions. Steadfastness, fastness. Remain true. Okay. Patience. Do our actions, or sometimes our reactions, show how unhealthy we are in our perseverance? We're not sound in perseverance, are we, sometimes? Because we're letting those little things get to us. When you think about that, have you ever heard the expression "getting on my last nerve"? We've heard that, haven't we? We've heard that expression, and we've heard the expression "pushing my buttons." Do we lose patience when we're overwhelmed sometimes? Yeah, we do, don't we? We do. We need to look and understand that sound in faith and sound in love and sound in patience and perseverance are godly attributes that we need to have as we continue to grow in our faith, as we continue to look to be examples. Let's look at 2 Timothy 4, 7 and 8. Second Timothy 4, 7 and 8. Paul says, "I have fought the good fight. I have finished the course. I have kept the faith. In the future there is laid up for me the crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will award me on that day, and not only to me, but also to all those who have loved his appearing." If we're loving his appearing, will that button be that all important to us? Will that nerve be very sensitive? When you think about that, our future and our present are really right now. Loving his appearing because of what is laid up for me, a crown of righteousness. And so, let's think about that from younger or older. Continue to think that I want to be finishing that race. I want to look towards that crown. I want to look lovingly towards his appearing. So back to the second chapter of Titus. He goes on after he finishes there the things that we just spoke of about older men. He says, older women likewise are to be reverent in their behavior. What do we think about in the term reverent? I'm sorry, Eric. Reverent? Humble? Okay. Honor? Okay. So you're looking at the word that describes a priest back in the Old Testament. The Greek uses that word reverent. You know, they conducted themselves, they were engaged in a sacred service. You know, taking your responsibility serious. You know, whether it be our worship and whether it be how we live our lives, taking our responsibility serious and being reverent and reverent minded. And then he goes on and says, not malicious gossips, nor enslaved to much wine. Older women says you need to be reverent in your behavior, take things seriously, and as you're taking things seriously, you shouldn't be slandering other people. Some of your versions may say, instead of malicious gossip, may say false accuser or slanderer. You know, the devil, you know, whether it be a man or a woman, he likes to use that in the workforce, in our families. He likes to use that gossip and speaking bad about other people to cause divisions, doesn't he? In friendships and families, at work, and in the church. The devil likes to use malicious gossip. And in Proverbs 6, we won't turn there today because of time, but a false witness who utters lies, who speaks and spreads strife among his brothers, you know, that's someone that the writer of Proverbs lists as six things that God hates and is an abomination to him. Someone that spreads lies, that's a false accuser. You know, a false accuser can also be someone that just raising the suspicion. Well, did you hear about that? Now, I'm not saying that's what went on, but did you hear? Raising that suspicion, you know, passing along information carelessly. You know, what's our motive? Is it healthy? Is what you're passing along, is it for that person's good? You know, Proverbs 20 tells us not to associate with a gossip. Now, one thing I want to make sure we understand is that the difference here is communication about people's needs and for the good of someone. If you're going to communicate that one of your sisters or brothers is in need and sick, and you're going to call someone or text someone, that's what's good. You know, the needs and prayers and things like that. But if you're communicating just because you want to ask what that person thinks about that or raise a suspicion, you're not helping the matter, are you? Yeah, Chuck? Mm-hmm. Sure. Right. Mm-hmm.
Our accountability is God.
Mm-hmm.
But we end up using their behavior as ours, and God just gets left out.
Right. Yes, Chuck was mentioning, you know, that, you know, having when we get that button pushed and we retaliate and we like to say, well, that person, you know, that person kind of deserved it. They did this or they did that. But our accountability, and we need to recognize that we need to go back and try to make things right. Our accountability is to God and try to do the right thing. As we look there again, that, you know, the malicious gossips and the reverent behavior and you know, those two are in contrast, aren't they? They're in total contrast of you know, doing the right thing. That priest that was serving was trying to do the right thing. And then he says, nor enslaved to much wine. So, you know, we think about that in the New Testament, in those times, you know, wine was something that was drank. It was very, very low alcohol, wasn't it? There wasn't much alcohol in it. It was drank, we know, you know, for medicinal purposes. It was drank for good for stomach, and it was something that, you know, sometimes the water was dirty, but it was the term there is not to be addicted to wine, not to have this something be a part of who you are. What older women should be doing, he says, they need to be. Look there in verse, at the end of verse 3. Not malicious gossips, nor enslaved to much wine, but spending your time doing what? Teaching what is good in a classroom, or not necessarily, but everyday teaching of what is good by your speech, by your example. You know, it's important that the older women are showing that what a godly woman does in their speech, you're not being a malicious gossip, and in their everyday life. So next week we're going to look some more, a little bit more at older women living this reverent behavior and what it can do to help the younger women and their families and their children. So thank you for your time and attention today.